Everyone wants to be the best version of themselves. Everyone wants to achieve their greatest level of success. Well, how do you help those individuals that have been given so much actually crave for more and become their best version of themselves? And that's what we're going to be talking about on today's Speaking Get What You Want podcast with the great Jesse Citru. Jesse, how are you?
Hey, Chad, I'm doing fantastic. I'm excited that you invited me on. I'm looking forward to chatting today.
Well, and Jesse, I love what you do. You see, Jesse works with college athletes in helping them invest their NIL money and putting themselves in a position that they can have a career long after their athletic, you know, experience is over. And Jesse, first of all, this career, what you do, didn't even exist 5-6 years ago.
That's right. It is crazy. It's something that wasn't even there. And just the nature of the business I was in and the people I was working with, kind of started with working with a lot of college football and basketball coaches. And then as NIL opened up and some mentoring opportunities opened up, and pretty soon there was a need to help these young men with tremendous amounts of money that they don't know what to do with, and making sure that it makes them better people.
Well, okay, now you say that better people, because you and I, we were talking before we started the show, that you not only help them with their money, you help them be the best version of themselves.
Right.
But you're talking and working with a lot of people that these college athletes, especially the ones you're working with, probably haven't even been told no in their lives. And right. I oversimplify that, but they've been, for lack of a better term, they've been catered to because they have tremendous athletic ability.
Right. No, it's very true. It's most of these young men have been the best player on every team they've ever played on, which in a sports worshipped, saturated society that we are in the United States. And I love sports too. It's a very interesting dynamic that you've got these young men who, even prior to them being young men, boys are being fawned over and just bragged on and treated differently by grown men and adults. And so they have grown up a unique way of just believing that they were really special. And that's a good thing to a degree, but being told that you're just special all the time, there can be some entitlement. So where I've noticed a really interesting conversation starting is when we start to talk about this NIL opportunity and they've received their first paycheck or their first deal, and they realize, I have no idea how this works. And they get humble pretty quick. And a conversation I love to have is, hey guys, you are really, really good, world-class even, at one thing. And that's amazing. You should be able to build on that, but it's not enough to make you a successful contributing human being. And they realize that pretty quickly, because they realize they've got to depend on someone like me, who's also very good at just one or two things. You know, I love sports, but I can't play the way they can play, but they can't think about money and plan for their futures the way I can. And that opens up a really cool conversation to humility and learning that they need to surround themselves with good people.
Okay, but Jesse, how do they react when you say that initially? You're sitting down with this athlete who's had everyone tell them how great they are, how special they are, and then you sit down and tell them, okay, you're here because you're really good at this one thing.
Yeah.
How's that received?
Great question. All the years I've been doing it, last 5 or 6 years, I've only had one time where the individual was a little bit offended and, you know, was trying to explain that he was very competent in this area. But for the most part, they are so overwhelmed and realize that they have no idea how to manage this $1.5 million or $750,000 or $4 million deal. And they truly realize, okay, I think I want this, this, and this, but I don't know how this works. And I'm able to help them understand in a healthy way, well, what are your plans for taxes? And they go, what do you mean? Well, we got a plan for taxes and we can figure out ways to mitigate. And what's your plan for cash flow? And what's your plan for this? They realize pretty quickly that they are not good in this area. And it's not their fault. But
This episode is brought to you by 10 Days to Create Clarity, a breakthrough course inside the Speak and Get What You Want Academy. If you've ever craved more meaning, more momentum, but not knowing where to start, well, you're not alone. The problem isn't motivation, it's clarity. These 10 days give you exactly that. Simple direction, real confidence, and clear next steps. You know exactly what you want, make decisions without second guessing, go from drifting to taking action, and align your life with what actually matters. And you'll feel a real shift fast. If you're tired of scrolling, stuck, or waiting for life to make sense, stop waiting. Join the Speak and Get What You Want Academy and start the 10 Days to Create Clarity course today. Go to speakandgetwhatyouwant.com. Okay, so Jesse, you said that when you start talking to them, they say, I think I want this, I think I want this, I think I want this. How much of their I think I want changes when you start unpacking what the questions that you ask them?
Great question. A lot. Typically, they start realizing, oh, so if I do go get that Rolex, that car, that whatever, that means I'm going to go without something else in the future, or I'm going to go without that capital being invested for me. Funny story, just this, I guess it was end of last week, I get a text from one of these athletes that I've been helping for a couple years, and he says, hey, Jesse, I thought I'd run this past you. What do you think about me buying a Rolex? And I said, hey, really good question. Really glad you came and asked me, what's the price tag, right? And he's like, it's $30,000. And I said, how bad do you want it? Scale of 1 to 10. He's like, a 5 or 6. I said, okay, here's the deal. I want you to have the things you want, but let's table this. Let's have this conversation in 6 months. And if you still really want it in 6 months, let's come up with a plan on how to earn interest to buy that, or find you another NIL deal to pay this for you, not pull out of any investment account. And he goes, you know what? Yeah, that makes so much sense. I can definitely wait for that. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure if I want it. Just that conversation, because we've been working a couple years, he realizes, yeah, maybe I don't want it that bad. But I love the fact that he was willing to reach out and have that conversation. And it was one of those ahas of like, you know what? I think we're doing some good.
Oh, that is awesome. These young
women realizing that there's more to life, right?
I love that. I love that. And so you're just asking them questions, because at the heart of it, they know what they really want, but they get caught up in what they think they want.
Yep. Yep. And exactly right.
And so as you're asking them questions, they get that clarity. And then once they have that clarity, then it governs all their decisions.
Right. Right. Exactly right. And I like to ask the questions because I like them to have an opportunity to start making their decisions. I'm hoping that they've listened to things, but now that individual that called me, I gave him some advice, but I asked him some questions. He made that decision. Now it's his. He'll stick with that because he said, you know what? No, I don't think I want it. Rather than me saying, no, don't do it. Right. Well, that just feels like dad when you're a teenager and you say, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, but you take the time, Jesse, to really get clear on what they want, right? Most people have no idea what they really want, including some of these high-paid athletes. They've been successful with the sport. Now they're in a position where they're making money by the sport. And then you're pausing them and asking them questions. What is it that you really want? And it causes them to think, wow, what is it that I really want?
Right. That's a great question. And it's starting with the end in mind, right from the beginning, and saying, well, why are you here in college? Why are you playing this? And 100% of these guys say to get to the next level, whether that's the NBA, the NFL, the MLB, whatever it is, to get to that next level. Okay, awesome. Why do you want to get to that next level? I want to play at the highest level. Okay, but why else? Well, I want to earn a career doing what I love to do. And I know I can make a lot of money. Okay, great. Why do you want to make a lot of money? Well, it comes down to something like stability. It comes down to something like, you know, regular income, taking care of mom and dad, whatever it is. So now you're right. When we point back and say, what is it that you really want? Does that Rolex help you get to that? And they realize, yeah, not really, right? Because we're trying to take care of this money so that even if you only last in the league 2 or 3 or 4 years, you've built yourself a consistent cash flow, passive income of 20, 30, 40, 50 grand a month, and you're okay. You can now go contribute to society in a different way. So, yeah.
Well, and what's crazy about this, Jesse, is so many people from the outside looking in, and those listening to the show are thinking to themselves that, oh, they've got it all figured out. They know what they want. They know what they want. But you're telling us that even if they know they want to play at a higher level, and so many people, Jesse, they told me, they're like, I just want to live life at bigger. I want to live bigger in life. Well, what does that even mean? And so you start asking the questions to get them clear on what their destination is going to be. Because the destination isn't necessarily the NFL. The destination is they want financial freedom or whatever it is.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Precisely.
And then you give them the path to get there.
Right. Exactly. My hope is I can use my expertise in that piece of their life to help them get what they want. Right. And helping them realize that you have to surround yourself with great people, no matter what industry you're in, because in my industry, I'm really good at something, but I need smarter people than me in other areas of my life to make sure that I can live my best life. And I think it's the smartest people know that, right? The smartest people know that they don't know everything.
Right.
When you're dealing with 18, 19, 20 year olds, most of them haven't come to learn that yet. I don't think I knew that at 18 or 19, 20 years old, but I love that opportunity to help them come to that realization that they've got to surround themselves with good people, that they've got to have a plan, that they've got to have a vision of where they want to go and why, so that they can stick with it. Because you started this by asking, how do you talk with people and influence people who have been told that they're the best all of their lives, right? Well, the fact of the matter is, if I'm not able to help them see broader than that, they're going to get to that next level, be armed with an amazing opportunity of financial resources to do so much good for themselves and outside of them. But everybody's going to come and appeal to that you're so special side of them. And they're going to do bad deals. They're going to be surrounded by people who don't have their best interest in mind. And unfortunately, that happens way too often. And now that amazing resource, that financial resource that could have done themselves, their posterity, and their community good, is up in smoke. It's in someone else's pocket. It hasn't gotten them to where they want to go.
Okay, so two questions real quickly. You before I jump into the importance of surrounding themselves with people, how often do you have to remind these individuals you're working with of what their destination is? So you ask them those initial questions, you get that clarity around their mind where they want to be, then how often do you have to remind them of it?
Commonly. When I say commonly, within most cases, I'm talking to these guys every couple of weeks. And so I would say at least monthly, we're going back to, hey, we're going to talk about this and how this account's doing, but here's why we're doing this. Remember, because if they're anything like me, and I know they are, except for starting earlier, they have to hear something that they know, but they think they believe. They have to hear that on a regular basis so that it becomes the front of the line instead of somewhere back here forgotten. So it's frequent. It's frequent.
Well, even that story of the Rolex, I mean, I don't know how soon you had talked to that athlete, but they had already gotten distracted by a literal shiny object, right? Where they were like, oh, this is where I want to go. That's so important for people to remember that you have to remind yourself regularly, or you just simply get distracted. Now, let's go real quickly to what you were talking about with surrounding yourself with the right types of people, the right people that you're associating closely with. How do you help them understand that? Because you see all the time athletes that get caught up just with the wrong group. How do you remind them of that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say primarily through storytelling, telling stories about what I've seen. And they're usually not anything that they haven't heard of themselves, about other athletes who have gone on and been taken advantage of or not used their status for good. And so regularly reminding them and then telling them, and I think even more powerfully, about the positive good things that I've seen some of my clients do with what they've been given. Let me point out so-and-so who I work with and is now where you want to go. Let me tell you about what's happening in their life right now in the area that I've been involved in. And they hear that and go, whoa. I like to tell that. I like to say, hey, here's so-and-so that you have probably heard of, or maybe you haven't, because they were gone in 3 years in the league. But guess what? Right now, they've got $25,000 a month coming to them passively. They're married, they've got a kid, and they're transitioning a career, but they didn't have to do it right away because they were okay financially. So this individual is able to serve. He doesn't have to be selfish, because here's the thing. If we are backed up against a wall, and usually that's, I'm speaking to them financially, you become very selfish, not because you want to, but out of necessity, you're in survival mode. And right. You think about me. Whereas if we can put you in a position where financial freedom is there and you don't have to worry about money being one of the worries of your life, you are going to be less selfish. You are going to think more about others, opportunities, instead of just being in survival mode. And so that's a very common thing, but I usually get there by telling stories, you know, whether it's the positive or the negative, to help them realize the impacts of the decision they'll make today while they're playing at their university.
Oh, I love that. And how often, Jesse, how often do you have them immediately just grasp the story and go like, oh yeah, that's right. That's an powerful reminder.
What I see is emotionally, most of those connect to that right away, right? And we know the psychology of humans, right? We will grab something emotionally, but that's where that follow up every 2, 3, 4 weeks has to happen, is to make sure that cognitively we are meeting what we said we were going to do emotionally with what we're actually doing, right? That there's no cognitive dissonance here of, I said this, but I'm acting this way. And so that's where we have to match the emotion with the science. And that's the part I really enjoy, but I see most of those guys, they get there, right? And it's awesome. It's fun when we get there.
Yeah, but they get there not by accident, Jesse. Sure. You're giving them a plan and they're being very intentional about on keeping the plan.
Right.
And they have, I mean, and everybody has distractions. And in your case, when you're working with athletes, it's got to be those toys and those shiny objects that get people distracted.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I'll tell them right off the bat, hey, those things aren't bad, right? And if you really want them, it's one of your values. I'm not telling you no, but let's have a plan on what that's going to do. Because if that new car costs you $100,000, it doesn't cost you $100,000. What do you mean? Well, what would that $100,000 have grown to in 5 years from now? Oh, I just had that conversation with a University of Oregon duck about that, and he goes, "You know what? Never mind. I'm not going to do that. I have an opportunity through one of my deals to lease, and I'm just going to do that, and it's going to cost me, you know, $800 a month instead of spending $100,000." And it was really cool because they knew what they wanted, but they didn't understand the money piece of it. But once I helped them understand that, it was like, oh yeah, that is what that wouldn't have helped me get to where I want to go.
Right.
And it was cool because I spoke with that individual's father later that day. He called, he said, hey, thank you. I just had a conversation with my son. And he goes, all I see is every time I come to the practices, there's a new $50,000, you know, diamond earring in this guy's ear or a Rolex. And he said, and this individual, the dad had played in the NFL for 9 years. He said, I get it. And it's not even bad, but I also watched people not ever get what they truly wanted because the shiny object got in their way and caught their eye every time.
Oh, that's a powerful quote. So many people don't get what they really want because that shiny object. I love this quote, Jesse, and it's right along the lines of what you're saying. Is what you're doing today getting you closer to where you said you wanted to be?
Yeah.
Right. And that's what I love about what you do and why you're so successful working with these NIL athletes, because you're saying, okay, this is what you said you wanted. Is that Rolex going to get you closer to what you said you wanted to do.
Right.
And right. So Jesse, if somebody doesn't have a Jesse Citrud sitting there, okay, what are things you would tell them to do so that they can be successful, even though they may not be an NIL athlete, maybe they're just trying to navigate life? What would you tell them?
Yeah, my simple answer would be to surround yourself with people who know more than you do in the areas that you're weak in. I have a very strong conviction that if I find myself being the smartest person in most rooms I'm in the wrong room. And so I look at my business partners, I look at the people that I work with, they're all much smarter than me. They are. And they're way stronger than me, especially in my weakest areas. I might do one or two things better than they do, and that's where my value comes in. Hmm. But I've got to surround myself. So I'm a big believer, and Chad, you know this quote as well, but you do become a sum of the people that you surround yourselves with and the books that you read. And I would put into that the podcast that you listen to. So much of that's free, right?
Right.
Read books, consume good content, and surround yourself with good people so that you can first and foremost know what you, sometimes you don't know what you don't know. Hmm. But once you recognize what that is, now you can connect with the right people that can hopefully get you either the advice or the product or whatever that you need. That's the place to start.
I love that. I love that. Surrounding yourself with the right people and what you're consuming. Everyone thinks about, Jesse, when we think about eating healthy, I mean, you talk about the athletes, and I love what you're doing because people will sit down with these athletes and they'll tell them, make sure you're eating the right nutrition. Make sure that you're exercising the right way. Take care of your physical body. But what you're saying, all that you're talking about, Jesse, is taking care of that mental or spiritual part of their body.
Absolutely.
And it just gets overlooked.
It does. It does. And the irony is with these athletes, everybody they're playing against, either at the collegiate or professional level, everybody has the body, right? Mm. I mean, they do. They fit a mold. They're twitchy. They're big. They're strong. But the separator is this, right? I look at Michael Jordan, right? Or I look at Kobe, or I look at LeBron. All of those guys, top level physically gifted. But I refuse to believe that there haven't been athletes as or even more physically gifted than those individuals. I do not believe that. The difference was right here. At some point in time, they had something they could turn on, whether it was a belief, whether it was just the desire to win, whether it was the desire to take care of themselves better, whatever it was, that was the separator, right? Is what's going on in here. Or, a Jerry Rice who wasn't ever the fastest, biggest, most talented, but he was one of the smartest players on the field. He knew angles, he knew routes. And so he used what was here to overcome the sameness on the field where everybody's built the same. So this is just part of that, is making yourself the whole person intellectually, spiritually, emotionally. If I can help any way there, then I'm just preparing them more for life. Maybe not for the game, but certainly for their life after the game.
Well, but Jesse, if we believe in that phrase, how you do anything is how you do everything, right? Then it not only impacts you physically, it will impact you mentally. And whatever impacts you mentally will impact you physically, because you will perform in all areas across the board at a higher level.
Right. Right. And I do. I agree with that phrase. It's one of my wife's favorite phrases to our kids. They've heard it so much that they have to roll their eyes, but they believe it. They know that the way you do one thing is the way you do everything.
It's absolutely true. And I love, Jesse, I love that you focus on the hard questions that you're asking these athletes. Like you said, like we said at the beginning, so many of them have been told exactly what they want to hear, and you're going to tell them what they need to hear. And right. Then when they get clear on that destination and you remind them of that destination, it governs their actions and they end up being a lot more successful than I bet they ever dreamed they would be.
Right. Exactly. That's the hope and the goal. And we've seen that to fruition many times. I think that goes beyond the business. If you're always the person that only tells people what they want to hear, you're just like everybody else, right? But the people who care about us the most, who care about me the most, they're willing to have, tell me the hard things, right? Like right. I love that my wife will not inflate my ego. She's like, you get that all week at the office. You get everybody telling you you're this and that. And she's right. And you know what? I think I like that. But when she's able to say, you know what? I'm seeing this, or you could do this better. I've got to a point where I love that, because that's a growth area, right? And
right.
That's the idea in my business is, you're right. These kids have been told everything about them that's great, and that's fine, but got to have some hard conversations and get them to face some discomfort, showing them though why, right? And if they get right. the why, they say, you know what, that is what I want. I will be willing to give up a little bit. Same reason they go to the work, to the weight room and tear up their muscles and do hard things, because they want to be just a little bit faster, stronger, a little more twitch, whatever it is, they're willing to do that because their end result is, I want more catches, I want more yards, I want more tackles, I want a shot at the league. I'll make that sacrifice.
I love that. I love that. Jesse, loved what you shared. You are awesome. Jesse, now when you work just with NIL athletes.
It's across the board. So I don't know how many dozens and dozens of clients now that are out of college and are in the NFL, the MLB, the NBA that we now work with and represent and manage their money. And it's fun because I have a relationship that I've had with them since they were 18.
Wow. And
it's fun. So there's mentor opportunities. And then the other piece of the puzzle clientele wise is, the college football and basketball coaches. I work with a lot of those across the country. And frankly, that was the starting point. And once they knew and trusted where I came from, that's where the introductions to the players started to come. Hey, you know what? You ought to talk to Jesse. He helps me. And I love that. And I try to be super consistent with what they're being taught in their culture by their coach.
Right.
And when we can mesh those, we're creating the young men that the coaches want. This is just a little piece that I can play that hopefully they can get before they go on to the next level.
Oh, I love it, Jesse. Jesse, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you shared. Thanks for being with us. It's always good to be with you, Jesse.
Hey, my pleasure. I feel the same. Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye now.
All right, peace.